John chapter number 8. And if you've got your handout there, you will, and can you grab me a handout real quick? Oh, thanks. Appreciate that. If you look at the top of your handout, we always put the church Bible page number 1108. That's the Bibles that are under your seats. Feel free to use those. We've got them spaced out. There may be one right under your seat, or there may be one in front of you there in the seat in front of you. But feel free to grab a Bible if you don't have one. And we give you the page number each week, page 1108. That'll take you to John chapter number 8. We want you to learn the Bible here at Crossroads, and we know the best way to do that is to look at it. And don't just trust me. You know, we want you to look at it. We want to learn the Bible so that we can live the Bible, and it'll change our life. And you know, some of you in here, have you ever found yourself in bondage to something or someone? The word bondage, if you look it up in Webster's, it's defined as servitude to a controlling force or person. So if you're in bondage, that means that you are basically a slave to some type of a controlling force or a person. When I think of that, bondage, bound, I think about the fact that, you know, we raised three sons, and our youngest is 18 now. We left the car seat stage years ago. And I got to tell you, when my last son finally graduated out of a car seat, that was a glorious day in my life. You know, get that thing out of there, just crawl in and buckle up, you know. And now, guess what? We're back in the car seat stage again. My grandson Landon is 2, and so we got to always buckle in. We even have our own car seat for our van, you know. And now Connor's on the way, so we're going to have 2 in the back seat. And we strap him in there, And man, that thing is such that he's not getting out, you know. He's not getting out. I mean, that thing has got him strapped in, and he cannot get out. In fact, I'll go a step further. It's questionable whether I'll be able to get him out once he's in there. I mean, I'm like, how do you do? It's like, how do you do this, you know? And it is unbelievable. And I think about that, you know. And You may not be physically bound today, probably not. You know, you're free, you're walking around, you're sitting here. But you know what? It's very oftentimes we get ourselves spiritually bound. We get ourselves spiritually bound. We get ourselves into some pretty bad situations to where we really end up a slave to some things in our life. And we begin to allow these things to control our life. Gets out of control. It's like Satan to do that. That's part of his character, see, is bondage. The Bible teaches that if we find ourselves in bondage to something in our life, that's Satan that does that. If you look in your handout, 2 Timothy 2:26, it's right there in your handout on the front page. It says, and that they may, talk about people, that they may recover themselves out of the, and that next word's important. What is that word? The snare of the devil, see? He snares them. And then the next key word's coming up, who are taken, what's that key word? Captive. People are taken captive by him, by Satan, at his will. Satan uses his power to enslave people. He gets you enslaved to your own, you know, sinful tendencies, sinful lust, carnal pleasures, internal fears. Look at verse 34 in John chapter number 8. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the, say that next phrase with me, servant of sin. Say that phrase again, servant of sin. Hey, we've all been there. If we're honest, we've probably all been there. Or you know what? Maybe we're there right now. There are things in our life that are out of control. And because they're out of control, they're controlling us. And of course, Satan does this stuff and he works undercover. He doesn't advertise it as bondage. Hey, come on, I'll bring you in bondage. No, he advertises it as fun. Fun. He calls it partying hard. He calls it getting high. Isn't that amazing that they don't ever say getting low? Hey, you want to go get low? Yeah, man, let's go get low. Living it up. Hey, man, let's go live it up. Nobody says, man, let's go live it down. Okay, man, yeah, let's live like low lives. Okay. See, he wants to make it sound good. Trouble always starts out as fun. But he ends up ensnaring people into bondage. Addictions, bondage, always begins with a first time. There's a first time you did it. And the promise was that it would make you feel good, it would satisfy you. Anyone in here who's addicted to anything, there was a first time we did it. There was a time when we weren't addicted, but then there was a time we did it the first time. Maybe you feel like you're in bondage today. You feel a heavy load. Maybe you came in here today and you're like, man, that's me. I feel in bondage. Maybe you feel a very heavy load of guilt and shame. Nobody knows it. Your wife doesn't know you feel that way. Your husband doesn't know it. Your kids don't know it. Your parents don't know it. Your best friend doesn't know it. But you're carrying internally a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. And it could be maybe that you have an outward addictive habit. It could be that. Could be substance abuse of some sort. It's very common today. Could be a spending problem. The Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. So it could be that you have a spending problem and it's out of control and now you're heavily in debt and the borrower is servant to the lender. You are being controlled by it. Could be an anger problem, a rage problem. Could be a sex addiction. Very common today. Some type of sexual addiction, lust problem. You know, I was reading, I think it's kind of funny. People today are in bondage to their phones. Would y'all agree with me on that? Be honest, would you agree? It's like I was reading an article and it surveyed a bunch of people and it actually set up monitors on their phones so they could track it. And the average touch, which includes like a click or a swipe, the average touch per day for all the people they surveyed, 2,600 touches a day. The highest was 5,600. 5,600 touches, just different things that they did with their phone. Texting, everything, phone calls, you name it, you know. 2,600 different touches. It's like people are addicted to their phone. They, you know, it's like we'll go in restaurants, Denise and I, and it's hilarious because you'll have like a family of four and everyone is sitting at the table just enjoying some great fellowship. You know, you see some husband and the wife isn't doing that and he's just on his phone the whole time. I'm like, wow, that's a nice meal. Way to go, man. Nothing like making your wife feel special, you know. It's like, can you not leave it in the car for even 30 minutes? Can you not be separated from it for 30 minutes? It's an addiction. People are addicted to social media. They're absolutely addicted to it. And what happens is that seems innocent, right? But it affects other areas of our life to where we don't have time to relate to our kids and relate to our spouse and relate in prayer to God and relate to God through his word and read his word. And it begins to affect us to where it controls us. We don't control it. It controls us. Maybe you've got some type of an internal stronghold. Fear, depression, anxiety. Listen, you're not alone. We all have struggles. But I've got some really, really good news for you. You can be set free. Amen. You say, how do you know? Because Jesus said so. In fact, Jesus appeared to Paul and he said, I'm giving you some good news to take to people and you're going to go and you're going to take this good news to people and here's what it is. Let's bring it up on the screen. He said, this good news is going to open people's eyes. It's going to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of who? Satan unto who? God. Right. And then he said that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, Jesus said, by faith that is in me. So that means I can be set free. You believe that? Do you believe that? Say it with me. I can be set free. Say that. I can be set free. Wow. I can be set free. I don't have to live the next 20 years this way. I don't have to live the next 30 years of my life this way. I don't have to live the next 7 days this way. I can be set free from whatever it is that's controlling my life that I'm in bondage to. It may feel like Satan has you in prison today and that he owns the key, but you can be loosed. You can be set free. You say, how do you know? Jesus said so. If you feel in prison today, it's a prison of your own choices. Just remember that. If you're in bondage, it's a prison of your own choices. Satan really cannot imprison you if you belong to Jesus Christ. What he can do, though, is Satan can influence us. He can't imprison us, but he can influence us to where he uses our choices and our responses to other people's choices and actions to actually imprison us. But Jesus Christ is the great liberator. In verse 36 is the Bible, man. Look at that. Verse 36 is God's word. This is Jesus talking, and he's not a liar. He said to this group of people that he was talking to, verse 36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be what? Free indeed. You break that down, and you know what that is? If the Son, who is the Son, church? Jesus. If the Son shall make you free. You know what that means? It means to liberate. If the Son liberates you, he says, you shall be free. That means unrestrained, not a slave, indeed. You look up the word indeed, it means really. You ever have somebody tell you something and you go, really? If you were in Jesus' day, you'd have gone, indeed? That's what it means. It means really. So he says, you shall be free, really, of a truth. Yes, every person can be set free from the bondage of Satan. This chapter is going to reveal how, but the chapter begins with a woman who had been taken in adultery. Her accusers had gathered around her, and in that day, that could be a capital offense, and so they wanted the law carried out. So they bring this woman in, they got the stones in their hands, they're about to stone her. Shame and death epitomized this woman. She was a poster child for Satan's bondage. Jesus Christ comes along without a stone in his hand, and he sets her free. She walked away from a death sentence to start this chapter out. But Jesus loved her too much to leave her in that sinful condition. Look at verse 11. Go to verse 11. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. And then what's the rest of that say? Go and what? Sin no more. He did not just set her free from a stoning. He set her free from her sin. What does that teach me? Jesus loves us. He loves you unconditionally. You may be in bondage to six different things. He loves you right where you are, but guess what? He will not condone your sin. And you know what? He loves you where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. He loves you too much to leave you there in that state, in bondage and in prison. He wants you to walk in the freedom of right choices. Isn't there freedom in just doing the right thing? Amen, church? There's just such freedom when you just make right choices and you just do the right thing. And he wants you to walk in the freedom of right choices. And then he explains in this chapter how a person can be set free from the bondage of sin and Satan. It's very simple, but very liberating. And the first point that I'm going to give you this morning, in fact, we're going to spend the rest of our time together this morning on this one point. Because this first point is so important that if you don't get this one, nothing else is really going to matter. You have no hope of being able to overcome bondage, the prison house that you're in. You have no hope of being able to overcome things that are controlling you without the first point. So we're going to spend the rest of the time on this. What is it? Number one is this. This is what Jesus taught. You must have eyes to see your true condition. Jesus Christ is talking to a group of very religious people in this chapter. I mean, they were religious. They believed in God. They went to church. They had all the rituals they were supposed to do down pat. They looked the part. They were religious. But yet, they were in bondage to Satan, and Jesus knew it. And Jesus made it very clear to them what their condition was. Let's look at some of this. I want you to dive in now, and let's look at some of this. Look at verse number 23. He, Jesus, said unto them, ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Verse 34, skip down. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Verse 41, he says, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Oh boy, verse 44. Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Would you guys agree Jesus did not beat around the bush? Whenever somebody comes up to you and goes, hey, your dad is the devil, you know what? They're kind of laying it on the line, amen? Here's the sad part. Most of these people had this personal encounter with Christ. They got to talk to Jesus. Imagine getting to actually converse and talk to Jesus Christ. They meet Christ, they talk to Christ, and they leave this encounter the same way, if not worse, than they did before they met Christ. Why? In your handout it says, because they would not admit that they had a problem and that they needed Christ's help. They would not admit that they had a problem and that they needed Christ's help. Jesus offered to set them free in this chapter, but they would not even admit they were bound. Look at verse number 32. Verse 32. It says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him. Instead of saying, yes, that's what we want, that's what we need. We are bound to our sin and our hypocrisy. Yes, Jesus, that's what we need. No, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that's told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, of course, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Verse 45, I think, kind of sums it up. I mean, these people just didn't get it. Verse 45, to me, kind of sums it up. Jesus said, and because I tell you the truth, say the rest of it with me, you believe me not. So many people are like that. They won't accept the truth about themselves. So many people are like this. And Satan has them in bondage. He gets us in bondage, guys. He gets us in bondage to money. He gets us in bondage to possessions, to where we're going to go out and we're going to, you know, ring up a bunch of debt just to have more stuff. Or we're just going to work crazy hours and never see our families because we want more stuff. We got to pay for all of our stuff. He gets us in bondage. He gets us in bondage to just lusts, addictive habits. To people get addicted to their own pride and ego. People get in bondage to bitterness. And the list goes on and on and on. But yet, many times people think, well, I'm not in bondage to any man. Just like these people. I'm not in bondage to anything. I don't have any issues. People think, you know, I'm my own man. I live to please me. I'm free. And they won't admit they're under the power and control of Satan. He said, you're of your father, the devil, and whatever he tells you to do, that's what you're going to do. The lust of your father you will do. Yet people won't admit it. They say they're free. They're not. They're doing Satan's bidding. They're Satan's pawn. They're Satan's puppet. They're doing his will. Like we read earlier, they're taken captive by him at his will. It's not their will, it's his will. They're doing what he wants them to do. But yet, many times we don't get that. Just like these people. People haven't changed. We don't get it. We even have justifications for our behavior, right? I deserve this. I've been working hard. Right? No one will ever know. I can't help myself. It's part of the job. Someone has to do it. One last time, I promise, then I'll quit. How about this one? If she would just do what I want her to do, I wouldn't act this way. That's just the way I am. And you know what all those are? Excuses. And in your handout, it says, the longer we live in denial, continuing in the status quo, the deeper and stronger the bondage. And you know what? The thing is, we may pretend to believe what we're saying, but deep down, we know that it doesn't match with what we know to be the truth. You know what I mean? We pretend to believe it. We make these excuses. We pretend to believe them. And then it's like deep down, though, we know this doesn't match with what I know to be the truth. And we're never going to be set free from the bondage of Satan until we want to be set free. And until we're willing to face the truth. Because there's basically two ways to go. And we tend to choose one way or the other. And it's like that door right there. If that door right there represents the truth about Dan Proctor, I can either face it, or in your handout it says I can run from it, man. I can take the truth and I can just run from it. We either choose to face the truth or run from it. And in your handout it says we have to quit lying to ourselves. And there's a great verse, I think, that's very pertinent to that. 1 John 1:8, it's in your handout. Look at it with me. It says, if we say that we have no sin, I don't have a problem. Who are we deceiving? What does that verse say? It says, if we say that we have no sin, I don't have a problem, I don't have an issue, we deceive who? Ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We have to quit lying to ourselves. Why? Because, listen very closely. Every lie we tell ourselves enables us to continue unhealthy attitudes and unhealthy patterns of behavior that hurt our relationships. Comes a point where we got to say, yeah, I got a problem with my mouth. I don't use it to edify. I use it to tear people down. I use it to gossip. And I use it to hurt people. I'm mean. Comes a point where we got to say, okay, you know what? I'm just using examples. You got to come to that point where that light turns on and you're like, I'm mean. You know, I'm very mean. I'm mean the way I treat people. Or you know what? I got an alcohol problem. I got an alcohol issue. And I need to quit running from it. And I need to face it. I'm addicted to painkillers, right? You got a point where you got to say it. You got to admit it. You just got to say, yeah, I'm addicted. I keep telling myself I'm not, but I am. There's got to come that point where the light comes on and we say, I got an anger problem. I got a lust problem. I got an internet problem. Why? Because until we do that, we will continue in the same unhealthy attitudes and behaviors that are going to hurt the relationships of those that we love the most. There'll be no spiritual breakthrough, in other words, until we see our true condition of bondage. And really, until you tell somebody. Really. Until it becomes out of the closet, it's not in the darkness anymore, and you're actually going to tell someone, be accountable, and get help. Sometimes the truth is painful. Would y'all agree with that? Amen? You know, y'all ever heard the expression, the truth what? Hurts. And sometimes it does. Sometimes the truth is like, it stings, man. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful, right? Somebody just kisses up to you, tells you what you want to hear, it's no help. It says, but it says that, you know, when you get wounded by a friend, hey, sometimes it's for good. When it hits you right there, it's not always real pleasant. But in your handout, it says there'll be no lasting change without facing the truth squarely. There'll be no lasting change till you face it squarely. Just like Jesus, you know, there can't be any beating around the bush. I heard a story about a guy. I was reading this, and I thought it was interesting. He said he worked in the field of mental health, and he'd take in the calls, and they taught him how to do intake. You know, he was trained to do patient assessments. And he said, I'd ask him a series of questions to kind of determine what they're dealing with and then how we could help them. And he said, I also learned to read people. He said, man, from the get-go, he said, I could tell from the responses to my questions whether I was going to be able to help. He said, a person was either in denial or they were very broken and real. A person was either pretending everything was fine when the whole world was collapsing, or they were in touch with the truth and they were ready to listen. He said that he'd take these phone calls, and he said, often I'd begin the phone calls and I'd ask this question, why did you call us today? And he said, sometimes he'd get responses like this. My wife says I have to see a counselor or she's going to leave me. And somebody else would say, I was listening to your program on the radio and I heard the guy talk about the symptoms of depression and I feel like he was describing me. He said, you see the difference? One guy is, it's not me, but if I don't call in, my wife's going to leave me. I don't really need this though. The other guy says, yeah, it's me. It's me. It's me. And I need some help. Whenever Jesus Christ knocks on our door, he finds two types of people. And to use this door as an illustration, if say that door represents your heart, and you're inside here and this is your heart, and Jesus Christ is out here and he knocks on your door. I'm really glad that was unlocked. I'd hate to have to preach the rest of my message in the hallway. He knocks on your door like that, you're going to do one of two things, friend. You're either going to open the door and invite him in, or you're going to keep the door shut and you're going to run. You are either going to open up the door, face it, or flee. We either get real or we continue the charade. I heard of a pastor that was, he had a friend and he said, hey man, he said, what's up? He knew the guy, you know, he's a pastor. He goes, hey man, what's up? The guy was just real matter of fact. He said, well, Jill's leaving me. He said, she's taking the children and she's moving back to the Midwest to be close to her parents. The pastor said, look, I knew there were two sides to the story. His wife had been physically abusive with his wife in front of the children. His oldest daughter had called a close friend who called the police, which ultimately resulted in this guy getting a restraining order where he couldn't go home. He completely lost control, the pastor said. He said, though, as we continued to talk, I listened to him blame his wife, badmouth his faith, and spout off about everything else except the root problem, and that was his raging anger. His pride and his arrogance stood in the way of assessing the results of his choices, which was abuse, heartache, and an emotionally distraught family. He said, on the other hand, he said, I had a friend, his name was Ben. He was actually just someone that he met. He said, when he first met the guy, he said, you know, he smelled as if he were fresh off a pipe load of marijuana. He said he was an alcoholic and a drug addict. His name was Ben. Had no clue where he was going in life. Everything around him was collapsing. His marriage was heading for divorce court. And he said, Ben told me, he said, one time when he was depressed, he said he rolled himself a joint and he started inhaling it, only to look down and see his two-year-old son imitating his behavior by putting a pen in his mouth. And he said that was the straw that God used to break the back of Ben's addiction. For the first time, he saw the reality of what he was doing. He checked himself into a rehab facility that very day, and he began a spiritual journey, he said, that was nothing short of remarkable. The pastor said, I asked him, I said, Ben, kind of reflect for me what happened on that day. And Ben said, it was all about learning what it meant to humble myself and to ask for help. And his eyes got watery, and he said, Rachel and I were separated. I was living by myself, and I had to admit that I had messed up my life and that I needed to check into a rehab. That dramatic day turned out to be foundational to his walk with Christ and his growth as a man. And the pastor said, more than any man I've ever met, Ben knows what it means to humbly take God's direction. So, you know, we're talking about freedom this month. We got the new banners. And our theme this month of July is going to be freedom. We're going to talk about how to get freedom. Freedom from different things. We're going to actually pinpoint some areas. But I wanted to begin by just saying that, hey, if we're going to have freedom, the first step, I don't care what we're talking about. I don't care what addiction. Because you look in here, we've all got different problems and issues and things we battle with and struggle with. And you know, there may be things in your life you thought were innocent. But you've got, the light's got to come on and you've got to realize, no, this thing is robbing me of intimacy with God, intimacy with my family. It's controlling me. The first step is you got to accept the truth. When we're living in bondage to something like that, yet we try and carry on like everything's fine, it stymies our intimacy with God. Why? Because we're deceiving ourselves, and God cannot relate to a person who's lying to themselves. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God cannot relate to someone who is just lying to themselves. So it robs us of that intimacy with God. So what we have to do is we have to do an honest inventory. Let's bring it up on the screen. We have to ask ourselves some hard questions like this. Number one, we have to ask ourselves, am I being honest with myself about where I'm at with the Lord? Am I being honest with myself? Number two, am I honest with God? Number three, am I transparent with others? Number four, am I open to receiving instruction from God's word from others? Or even my spouse. Whew. Inventory time, right? I'm a firm believer that either we're coming out of bondage or we're going deeper in it. So I want to encourage you. It's one step at a time. So if this is you and this step represents bondage, you may not be where you want to be, but you're heading one way or the other. I found that we usually don't tread water for very long. I have found that we're either going deeper and deeper into that bondage, or we're in the process of coming out of that bondage and being set free from that bondage. You want to get to moving in the right direction. And a big part of that is based on whether or not you see things as they really are. You know what I've started praying a lot more for my family, for me, myself? Lord, help me to see things as they really are, not as I think they are. Help me to see things as they really are, not as I imagine them to be, not as I think they are, not as my heart would maybe deceive me to believe. No, I want to see things the way you see them. I want to see things the way they really are. I want to see myself as I really am, not what I think I am. John 8:32 is at the end of your handout. Let's end with that. Look at it with me. It says, and ye shall know the what? Truth. And what does the truth do? It's going to set you free. Right. Next week we'll come back and we'll do part two of this. And we're going to build on what we've learned today. But this is the first step. So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes.